Good afternoon, students. This is Reverend Calhoun again. We're going to continue our study on the spirit of honor. This should be class number 5. And as I stated at the beginning of the semester, we were going to be veering off the book to a book Dr. Leroy Thompson wanted us to include in the class. And the name of that book is called Overcoming Pride by an author by the name of Gramilio McDonald. Let me spell it for you. Guillermo McDonald. MALDONADO. And it's called Overcoming Pride. You don't have to purchase this book. We're only going to do possibly 2 class sessions, but I will advise you to take good notes because, like I said, everything that I'm going to be coming from today is going to be coming from that book. Amen? All right. So we're going to be talking about pride, the root of all sin and dishonor. Pride, the root of all sin and dishonor. And this is class number 5. I'm going to get into a word of prayer and we're going to get right into the lesson. Father, we just thank you, Lord God, that this is the day that you have made. We thank you right now, Lord God, for Ever Increasing Word Training Center. We thank you, Lord God, for the president, Dr. Leroy Thompson, Senior, our apostle, the visionary here at Word of Life Christian Center. And Lord God, we thank you that his anointing rests upon this class, Lord God. Hallelujah. And Lord God, we just thank you for your precious Holy Spirit, Lord God, who's going to lead us and guide us into all truths. I trust that each and every student are getting everything they need from these classes, and they're getting fortified in the things of God and in apostolic government. And as always, Holy Spirit, if you don't show up, I'm going to fall flat on my face. So I'm leaning and trusting completely and totally on you. Amen. All right. Like I said, we're going to take a turn, which it seems, and we're going to look at a major enemy that caused people not to walk in the spirit of honor. One of the things you'll probably notice in my classes, I'll talk a lot about dishonor and things that cause people to walk in dishonor. So that way it'll kind of help you see if there's areas in your life where they might have been dishonor, and that you might be able to make adjustments in your life so that you can walk in full-blown honor, amen, to your pastor, to your man of God, to the people you work for, honor towards your parents and whoever you, you know, who's over you in whatever capacity, amen. Okay, now this area we're going to be talking about is called, like I said, the spirit of pride. Once they get wrapped up in this deception, it's hard for most people to easily break free. Its grip will, like a large snake, crawl up around and choke you spiritually until hearing and receiving from God becomes almost impossible. Okay, you're going to have to take, like I said, good notes because we're going to be studying from the book Overcoming Pride. The biggest adversary to the spirit of honor is the spirit of pride, which takes its root and what the author calls, and is also in the Bible, we'll read scriptures pertaining to it, the spirit of Leviathan. And I'll spell that, Leviathan. Leviathan is spelled L-E-V-I-A-T-H-A-N, Leviathan, the spirit of Leviathan. And you can find that actual word Leviathan in the Old Testament, Isaiah 27:1. It says, in that day, the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, that piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that corked serpent. He shall slay the dragon that's in the sea. All right. Leviathan is, well, I'm just read it from my notes so I get everything correct. What is the spirit of Leviathan? God describes to Job a sea monster looking creature called Leviathan to reveal to Job what Job's problem was, which was pride. There is a strong evil spirit named Leviathan. Leviathan is the evil demonic spirit of pride, and that can be found in Job chapter, the whole chapter of Job chapter 41 talks about Leviathan. I'm going to give you a Strong's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words definition of Leviathan. Leviathan is a withered animal or serpent, a large sea monster. The context suggests some form of aquatic sea monster which dwells in the sea. In the scripture, the sea represents the nation of people. There is a dragon in the sea. The sea is the people of the nations, and God is going to slay the dragon called Leviathan. So you can call it symbolism or however you want to phrase it, but pride is so deceptive. And when God spoke to Job concerning his problem, he used the word Leviathan as a sea monster. And the sea represents the nation of people of the world. And this sea monster, or sea creature, or slithering snake creature, coils itself around the souls of people. And it grips them, and it causes a strong, tight grip. And they say the scales are so strong that the scales on this thing cannot even be penetrable. So once the spirit of pride grips you, and just like a snake or something that could coil itself around you, in most cases there's no breaking free. And we'll see in later classes that the only way to be free of this spirit of Leviathan is by humbling, recognizing that you are powerless without Jesus, and by the anointing of God. Amen. But I want to try to give you some clarification that Leviathan and pride are synonymous. And Leviathan is the symbolic creature or demonic spirit looking creature that dwells in the sea of people. The nations of the world are consumed by the dragon or sea-looking demon. This sea monster is known as or represents the spirit of pride. The evil demonic spirit of pride manipulates and controls the masses of the world through the sin of pride. Amen. All right. In Job 41 and 34, the Bible says, he beheld all high things. He is the king over the children of pride. Of all the beasts, he is the proudest. He reigns supreme over the pride of the earth. And that's referring to Leviathan. Another way of stating this is he, Leviathan, looks down on all who are haughty. He is the king or ruler over all those who are proud are having a proud look. Pride and Leviathan are really synonymous. It's hard to separate the two. And I have, there's a song that came out in the 70s that says, when you, pride is the root of all sin. It says, when you finally break it on down, it's the pride that caused people to do the things they do. But anyway, many people fall prey to Satan's temptation and get trapped into the sin of pride, which in most cases causes them incapable of getting back up and hinders them from walking in honor. No, so what we're trying to establish is that pride is diametrically opposite of honor. When you walk in pride or pridefulness, you can't walk in honor, because pride won't submit, where honor walks in humility and knows how to submit. Amen. So many people fall prey to Satan's temptation and get trapped into the sin of pride, which in most cases renders them incapable of getting back up and hinders them from walking in honor, because the spirit of pride is so deeply rooted into their souls. Leviathan, like a serpent, twists himself around a person's soul, making it callous. The word callous means hard. If you ever had calluses on your hands, a callus can get so hard that you can actually take a needle and poke the callus and you won't even feel it, because the skin in most cases might be dead and hard and so hard until nothing is penetrable. And that's what Leviathan does. It wraps itself around your soul, and it's hard for even the word to penetrate because of that callousness and that hardness of Leviathan, which is pride. Amen. And it says, because the spirit of pride is so deeply rooted in their souls, Leviathan, like a serpent, twists himself around a person's heart, making it callous, cold, and causing them not to walk in the spirit of honor. Pride will keep you from getting back into your position and keep you out of alignment with what God has called you to do and keep you outside of the will of God for your life. Never to walk in the true blessing that Jesus has provided for you because of being so wrapped up or called up in the spirit of pride. Okay? Pride will disguise itself in many forms through the spirit of Leviathan. Okay? It will manifest itself and hide behind these forms so you can't recognize its hold on you. Some of these are anger. When you walk in anger, anger is a form of pride. Arrogance is a form of pride. Contention is a form of pride. Disobedience is a form of pride. Independent spirit, lying spirit, witchcraft, perfectionism, rebellion, vanity, divination, rejection, bitterness, malice, envy, strife, hardness of heart, overinflated ego, jealousy, and pride is the author of confusion. And also there's conflict, there's dissension, there's confrontation, always wanting to be in a dogfight. You know, all of these are signs of pride. And pride hides behind all of these. You know, pride kind of gets in the back. So you really don't see the pride because of the anger, because of the arrogance, because of the contention and the disobedience, all of those things. Those were the things that actually is manifested or displayed in your life. But the root cause of it all is actually pride. Amen. There's a scripture in John 20 and 23. Let me get that in my Bible because I don't have it written out in my notes like I wanted to. It's John 20 and 23. The scripture says, whosoever sin has sins ye remit, they shall be remitted. And unto them whosoever sins are retained, they are retained. Let me read it again. Whosoever sins ye remit, they shall be remitted or let go or release unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. And that's so very important because what pride will do is to keep you retaining things that you need to let go. The Bible says not to let the sun go down on your wrath. If you are in contention or in strife or anger or bitterness with somebody, it says we need to get it straight before the sun goes down. Okay? And that's what this scripture is kind of referring to. Pride won't let you go back when you made a mistake or say that I'm wrong about a thing or walk because you walked into strife towards somebody. It won't let you repent or say, I'm sorry, or ask for forgiveness because of pride. Pride won't let you do it, you know. It wraps itself, it coils itself around you, and it keeps you in a state of contention and bitterness over a situation or circumstance. And the more you think about it, the more it builds itself, and the more it tightens itself or tightens its grip around your soul. The opposite of pride is humility. Jesus was the ultimate example of godly humility. He always acknowledged and honored his Father. He said, I only do what I see my Father do. And you know, in Philippians 2, 5 and 11, Jesus talks about humility. who, verse 6, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant. Pride would never take it on itself the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion of a man, he humbled himself. Pride will never humble itself. Jesus emptied himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. Wherefore God also highly exalted him and gave him a name above every name. God honored Jesus because he humbled himself, you know, and at the name of Jesus, as we know, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Those who walk in humility will be exalted, but those who walk in pride will be cast down or abased. Proverbs 16 and 18. Pride goeth before destruction, as a haughty spirit before the fall. The Message Bible on Proverbs 16 and 18 says, first pride, then the crash. The bigger the ego, the harder the fall. That's the Message translation of Proverbs 18:16. You know, first pride will show up. Then you're just going to crash. The bigger the ego that you have, pride has an ultra ego, the harder the fall. Amen. So, I mean, a brother who's offended is harder to be won over than a strong city. That's the 19th chapter of that. And their contentions separate them like the bars of a castle. Proverbs 18 and 19. A brother offended. If you get offended and get into pride, it's harder to be won over than a strong city. And their contentions separate them like bars of a castle. Listen up. This is something you're going to have to know. Pride is an unreasonable and unjustifiable sense of one's self-worth or position. Living for self or having a sense of being better than others, having excessive self-esteem, considering one's self excessively dignified, one who depends on his own abilities and his knowledge, a person who lives independently from God and others. So pride, like I said, is an unreasonable and unjustifiable sense of one's self-worth or position, living for self or having a sense of being better than others, having excessive self-esteem, considering one's self excessively dignified, one who depends on his own abilities and knowledge, a person who lives independently from God and others. Pride will make you think that you're the man or you're the woman. You know, you're having an ultra ego, you know, an overinflated ego of yourself. Amen. But that's not what the Bible teaches, as we know. Romans 12 and 3 says, Paul says, we shouldn't think of ourselves more highly. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. And one of the things a good friend of mine here in the ministry shared this with me, and I think he said he heard it from Apostle. He said, always stay small in your own eyes. That's one way to keep pride out. You, no matter how somebody may compliment you, praise you, you know, give you, you know, adorations or what have you, but you always stay small in your own eyes. When I get praised or pat on the back or admonished or whatever, I say, I'm giving all the glory to God. I can't accept any glory because, as Paul states in one of the scriptures in the Thessalonians, I am what I am by the grace of God, and that grace I don't take in vain, you know. So I always want to make sure that I keep pride out. If not, pride is knocking at the door. If you don't keep him out, he's knocking at the door. And once he comes in, he grips you, you know. And the more it's fed, the stronger it gets. Okay, let's talk about arrogance. Arrogance is a feeling or an impression of superiority, manifested in an overbearing manner of presumptuous claims. It is an attitude of feeling superior and scorning others because of their intellectual level or lack of aptitude or ability, their skin color, their native country, or any other excuse that might exalt a particular person above another. That's just being arrogant. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, another good scripture pertaining to pride is found in Psalms 10 and 4. It said, "The wicked through pride of his arrogance will not seek God. God is not in all his thoughts." Psalms 10 and 4, "The wicked through their pride, the pride of their countenance, will not seek God. God is not in their thoughts." So a person who's prideful, we'll talk about that probably next week. They don't consider prayer an important part of their lives. I'm getting a part of themselves because they don't seek God. You know, God is not a part of their thoughts, even though they may say he is, because a prideful person don't think they need any assistance. They don't think they need any help. You know, they're the man, they're the woman. Amen. Okay, let's talk about haughtiness. Now, all of these things here, pride, arrogance, and haughtiness all run together. Haughtiness is having or showing an insulting attitude towards people, putting people down because you think that you think you are better, smarter, and more important than others. Those who are blatantly and disdainfully proud-minded are very haughty. So pride, arrogance, and haughtiness, as I state, all run together. God resists arrogant and prideful people. He rejects them because he detests the sin of arrogance, pride. Pride and arrogance is, in essence, the same in demonic nature, because people who, with these attitudes, are denying and disobeying the legitimacy or the legitimate authority established by God. They do not believe in or submit to divine order. They do not fear God. So a person who's prideful has no reverential fear of God. Amen. James 4 and 6 says, "God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble." Notice the diametrically opposition or between pride and humble. It says God resists the proud, but he'll give grace to the humble, you know. And for years, I always thought that a person who's humble was weak. But humble is a form of humility. Humbleness is when you yield to authority. You humble yourself. The Bible says, "Humble thyself in the sight of God, and he will lift you up." Humbling yourself, you know. That's a sense of submission or submitting to a greater authority. Amen. Proverbs 8 and 13 says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogance, and the evil way. The perverse mouth I hate." So God says, I hate a perverse mouth, a mouth that's speaking arrogance and pride and haughtiness. You know, he said, but the fear of the Lord will hate evil, pride, and arrogance. Amen. All right. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge," Proverbs 4 and 7. "But when you walk in pride, you will block yourself from receiving revelation knowledge because of no reverence for God, no fear of God. You then start to believe a lie and you can't see the truth." So the Bible says in Proverbs 1 and 7 that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But when you walk in pride, you block yourself from receiving that revelation knowledge. Why? Because of no reverence for God, no fear, no reverential fear for God. And because of no reverential fear for God, you begin to believe a lie and not the truth. To be used of God, you always want to stay small in your own eyes. And I stated that earlier. And as I kind of at the first one or two classes stated, I'm a repeater. So I'll say certain phrases over and over. To be used of God, you always want to stay small in your own eyes. Don't pat yourself on the back or let your head swell up, be a big old, you know, head full of arrogance and pride. Amen. Hallelujah. Always walk in Christ's humility, not weakness, but meekness. You know, you're meek. Moses was a meek man, but he wasn't weak. He led the children of Israel out of Egypt, you know, and he almost led them into the promised land. Praise God. But he was very meek. Hallelujah. All right, let's move on. What does the Bible say about pride? Proverbs 21:4. A high look and a proud heart and the plowing of wickedness is sin. I'm going to read it again. A high look, you're looking high, but you're looking down on other people. A high look and a proud heart and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Proverbs 16:5 says, everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though they join forces, none will go unpunished. There are consequences. I'm just paraphrasing. There are consequences when you walk in pride. You expose yourself to the curse. And we know, according to Proverbs 26:2, that the curse causeless shall not come. So when you walk in pride, you give the curse a cause to come. Amen. Hallelujah. But, you know, Proverbs 16:5 says, everyone proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. So when you proud in heart, you are an abomination to the Lord. Amen. The word abomination means a strong dislike, often with disgust or intolerance, extreme disgust, hatred, repugnancy, pride, hate, and excessive and being excessively offensive. That's an abomination. To God, an abominable person is one who believes to be superior to others. They're swallowed up in their own pride. One who boasts about his own achievements, one who attributes more to himself or your inflated abilities and skills he does not possess. One who believes and says he can do better than others, or he who lives for self-gratification. This kind of person is repugnant and repulsive in God's eyes. Proverbs 29:23 says, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Now that's a powerful verse. Proverbs 29:23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. So when you walk in humility, you're being upheld by honor. Amen. All right. This is something that's important and you're going to know. Pride, arrogance, and haughtiness are defined as the spirit of Leviathan. The spirit of Leviathan is the root of all sin. So pride, arrogance, and haughtiness are defined as the spirit of Leviathan. The spirit of Leviathan is the root of all sin. It was pride that caused Satan to rebel against God in heaven. For his prideful act of rebellion, he was cast out of heaven. Proverbs 6:16-17. I'm quoting a lot of scriptures, so I want you to go back and look at them. It says, the six things of the Lord hate, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. So of the six things, one of those things and the first things that's mentioned is a proud look. Okay. Job 40:12 says, look on everyone that is proud and bring him low and tread down the wicked in their place. And as you know, Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goeth before destruction as a haughty spirit before the fall. Pride goeth before the fall. So when a person walks in pride, they're on their way down. They're on their way to crash and burn, because God hates arrogant, prideful, haughty people. Amen. And we'll talk about one of the most arrogant, haughty, and prideful persons there ever was, Ezekiel 28 and 17. It's talking about Lucifer. It says, "Thy heart was lifted up because of thy beauty, position, talent, gifts, and ability. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings, that they shall behold thee." When you walk in pride, you block yourself from receiving wisdom from God, because you have corrupted your wisdom. Amen. Pride will corrupt all of your wisdom files. If you think about a laptop and how sometimes your hard drive can get corrupted with a virus. Well, pride is like a virus to your soul. Think about that. Pride is like a virus to your soul. It corrupts all of your wisdom files. In other words, then you can't retrieve them. It grips itself around your heart or your soul, and it won't let go. And it's so tightly woven that nothing could penetrate it. Amen. All right, let's move on. Ezekiel 28 and 17, Amplified Version says, "Your heart was proud and lifted up because of your beauty. You corrupted your wisdom and the sake of your splendor. I cast you to the ground. I lay you before kings that might gaze at you." It's talking about Jesus casting Satan down. This is something you need to know. The spirit of pride came into existence the moment Lucifer sinned and allowed his heart to be lifted up with pride against God. So the spirit of pride came into existence the moment Lucifer sinned and allowed his heart to be lifted up with pride against God. A prideful and an arrogant person is weak and easily falls into temptation. Each time a person allows pride and arrogance to creep in, he reminds God of the rebellion caused by Satan in heaven. I'm going to read that again. That's a powerful statement. A prideful and arrogant person is weak and easily falls into temptation. Each time a person allows pride and arrogance to creep in, he reminds God of the rebellion caused by Satan in heaven. Pride, if not checked or dealt with, becomes contagious. Remember, one third of the angels fell with Satan in heaven because of his pride. Also, in the Old Testament with Corinth and Moses, Corinth's company got swallowed up into the earth from coming against Moses, which was an arrogant move, because Moses was God's mouthpiece, God's man, and he spoke against God's man, and pride was the thing that caused him to rise up in haughtiness and arrogance. Amen. Even Miriam got Aaron on board Moses married the Ethiopian woman. That was even a form of pride, even though God dealt with her, and I think she got it straight. But it still stemmed from pride. Luke 10:18 says, this is Jesus said, "And he," Jesus said, "unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning falling from heaven." After Satan was created, cast out of heaven, he used the deceptive of the spirit of pride on Adam and Eve, which led mankind into the fall, according to Genesis chapter 3. The fallen angel Satan, who fell from heaven, as described in Luke 10:18, Satan is still having a craving to be like God. As a result of his fall, Satan beguiled Eve, deceived Adam through trickery to turn over their authority to him. Because of this one act, the whole human creation fell, nature before, and felt unto the infectiousness of pride. The temptation to know good and evil, to eat of the forbidden fruit, was motivated by pride that took its root in Adam and Eve by the trickery of Satan. He deceived them into wanting to be something they already were, to be like God. They were already made in the image and the likeness of God. But he said, if you eat of this fruit, you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. You know, they were already made in his image. Amen. All right. We are descendants of Adam and Eve, and therefore easily affected by pride. This is why Leviathan is so strong and powerful and deeply rooted in an unrenewed mind. The fascination with the forbidden, fed by Leviathan, who curls himself tightly in our unrenewed minds. The spirit of pride is completely opposite, as I said, to the spirit of honor. Amen. Pride shows no respect to authority and is selfish and arrogant. Believes in individualism, believes in self-dependency, whereas honor shows respect, submission, loyalty. Honor walks in one accord and love towards others. Honor has its dependency in God with respect, submits to and walks in God's divine order of authority. A person operating in pride may act like they're submitting outwardly, but inwardly in their soul is far from submission. They are standing up on the outside, but sitting down on the inside. Amen. And my time is running short. I need to get to a few more points. And one thing about pride, pride always says, I will exalt myself, my throne against the stars of God. I will ascend into the heights and the clouds. He's always talking about, for thou said in thy heart, I shall ascend, I shall exalt. I shall sit upon the mount of the congregations in the sides of the north. I. Pride is always about self. Amen. All right. People under the influence of the spirit of pride do not serve properly or wholeheartedly or acknowledge and submit to spiritual authority, divine order, or a spiritual covering. I'm going to read that again. People under the influence of the spirit of pride do not serve properly or wholeheartedly. In other words, they have an ulterior motive, or acknowledge and submit to spiritual authority, divine order, are a spiritual covering. They operate as long rangers or renegades. They may recognize spiritual authority, but they will not submit to it. Amen. All right. Let me get to one or two more points and we'll try to wrap it up. Pride always wants to be on top. A person who is full of pride wants the entire world to submit and to serve them. They don't believe in serving others. Amen. They have their necks are very stiff because it's wrapped up and curled up tight. Job 41:22 says, in his neck remains strength, and sorrow is turned into joy before him. Strength swells in the neck, and terror dances before him. In other words, he's very stiff-necked. Amen. Prideful people are very stiff. Now, they won't turn and they won't bend. A major problem among Christian leaders and believers today is a lack of submission and service. They seek reasons not to serve or continually justify their lack of submission, especially if they have to serve under someone who they consider less knowledgeable or who has served less time in ministry. You know, a prideful person don't want to submit to authority. I'm going to read that again. A major problem among Christian leaders and believers today is a lack of submission and service. They seek reasons not to serve or continually justify their lack of submission, especially if they have to serve under someone who they consider less knowledgeable or who has served less time than them. If you are experiencing difficulty submitting and serving to others under delegated authority, this is an indication that you are influenced by the spirit of Leviathan. Amen. And you don't want that to happen. Glory to God. All right. Pretty much covered everything that we need to cover. Got a few seconds left. But, you know, pride, arrogance, and haughtiness is defined as the spirit of Leviathan. Pride is an unreasonable, justifiable sense of one's self-worth, living for self, or a sense of being better than others. And excessive self-esteem is defined as pride. Amen. The spirit of pride came into existence the moment Lucifer or Satan sinned and allowed his heart to be lifted up against God. People under the influence of pride do not serve or acknowledge spiritual authority. They serve as lone rangers. And with that stated, we're going to conclude for the day. See each one of you next week. And like I said, make sure you take good notes, because everything in your quiz is going to be coming from what I stated today. Amen.